Praise the Lord. Hello, my wonderful listening family. This is Pastor Terry Sisney, Higher Life Broadcast. So glad that you joined us again today. Had a wonderful time together yesterday, and shared with you about taking your inheritance. What are you waiting for? Is the title. And I really believe that it was a helpful, beneficial subject that we shared with you. And so we kind of want to stay on that thought, and I just want to follow a little further down the line with that and help you to get this spirit of faith. There is a spirit of faith. The Bible says that Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit than the rest of the children of Israel. The rest of the children of Israel, I'm talking about when the spies went in to spy out the land, and they came back with an evil or a negative report and concerning the giants that were in the land. The Bible said Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They had another spirit. And, of course, the spirit they had was the spirit of faith, because the 10 spies came back with a negative report concerning the land. But Joshua and Caleb came back with a positive report. The negative report of the 10 spies says, we are not able to take the land because there are giants in the land. The positive report of Joshua and Caleb was, we are well able to take the land. For God is with us. God is for us. So we are well able to take the land. So let me speak that to you today on the authority of the Word of God. You are well able to take the land. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're well able to possess your inheritance. You're well able to take what belongs to you. Amen. I don't care if the devil has it in his possession. If it is your inheritance, it belongs to you, you can take it back. Glory to God. Yes, amen. You can receive it. You can get your miracle, your breakthrough, your blessing. You can have it if you will rise up in the spirit of faith and you'll go after it. Amen. Okay, so yesterday we talked about what are you waiting for? Now today I want to talk to you about this on the subject, sometimes you have to push. Sometimes you have to push. And so what I'm talking about is the fact that if you are wanting your breakthrough, if you're wanting to live the life that you have desired to live, if you're wanting the future that you've desired, then you have to get pushy. Sometimes that subject is a little touchy for some people, because some people are just not naturally pushy. Some people are very timid, very backward, very introverted. You know, there's specifically two different kinds of people. There's extroverts and there's introverts. Extroverts are people that are very outgoing, very aggressive, very bold, very vocal, and very community-minded. They like being around people. They're very interactive. But then the introvert is just the opposite. The introvert is a very quiet person, a very shy person. They don't talk to people much. They kind of stay to themselves. They're not very, very vocal at all. And so it's a total different kind of people and a different attitude. But when it comes to the things of God, my brother, my sister, I have to say this to you. When it comes to being a possessor of the things of God and possessing your inheritance, sometimes you have to push. You have to be a little pushy. That's just the way it is. Why? Because, for one thing, because we have an adversary, the devil, who is very aggressive, and he's very bold, and he's very pushy. And if you're going to get what you have been promised in life and what is available to you, you have to push back. You can't let the devil be the one doing all the pushing. You've got to push back. The Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So if you're going to possess what God has promised you and what he has ordained for your life and what he's made available to you, then, dear friend, my brother, my sister, listening friend, you're going to have to get pushy. Sometimes you have to push. And so We're talking a little bit about the woman with the issue of blood, how she needed a miracle. But that miracle didn't just roll off a cliff and fall on top of her. She had to push. She had to make a conscious decision that she wanted that miracle and break through into that place of receiving her miracle. So you're supposed to win in life. That's God's plan for your life. He wants you to win. The Bible says, thanks be unto God, which causes us always to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God teaches us that we are of God, and we have overcome them, overcome the world, because greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So, dear friend, you're supposed to win in life. But let me say this, you can't expect to win without a fight. There is a warfare. If you haven't figured that out by now, I hate to be the one to wake you up, shake you up, and pop your bubble, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to say it. You're not going to win without a fight, because there's enemies to your destiny. And so if you're going to push through, breakthrough, you're going to have to get in the press. You're going to have to get pushy. You're going to have to get aggressive. You're going to have to get a spirit of aggressive, bold, tenacious faith about you that's willing to speak up and that's willing to push back against the enemy. So the Bible tells us about this woman, says she heard about Jesus, this woman with the issue of blood. She'd had this issue for 12 years, and she heard about Jesus. And when she heard about him, her faith was quickened. For 12 years, she had been going to doctors. The Bible says that she spent all that she had, and she didn't get any better, but she got worse. And so she was at a very, very depleted place in life, very depleted condition physically, I believe emotionally, spiritually. And then she hears this good report about Jesus, about a man who heals, about a man who delivers, about a man who even raises the dead. And I'm certain that would create faith in you, and it created faith in her. And then she made up her mind that she was going to get to where Jesus was. And these were the words that she spoke, her internal dialogue, her self-talk. It went like this: if I can touch him, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. I don't have to touch him. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. And so that was her driving internal dialogue. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. King James Bible says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Another translation says, she kept saying to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And so we know that there was an internal dialogue that began to operate in her and began to motivate her to get to where Jesus was and to reach out to take a hold of that garment. And so she had to push herself past all of her discomfort. Dear friend, 12 years suffering with an issue of blood, blood being your life source and force. So her life was draining out of her. And she came to Jesus depleted physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, and her life force flowing out of her. But she pushed her way to where Jesus was, knowing that at any moment they could have taken her out and stoned her to death because she was unclean, and it was religiously, ceremoniously against the law for her to be in a place, public place, in that condition. And so she risked her life. She put her life on the line. She made up her mind, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die moving in the direction of my miracle. Wow, that's faith. That's boldness. That's tenacity. That's being pushy. So then she gets to where Jesus is, and she finds that Jesus is surrounded by people. There is a crowd all around him. So not only now does she want to get to where Jesus is, and she has made an effort to get to him, now she's got to get through the crowd to get to where he's at. So there's a press around him of people. And now this woman who is ceremoniously unclean, religiously unclean, who they could have taken out and stoned her legally at any moment, is pushing her way through a crowd of people to get to where Jesus is, or we could say, to get to her breakthrough, to get to her miracle, to get to the life that she wanted for herself. She became pushy. She became aggressive. And dear friend, sometimes you have to become a little pushy if you're going to get your breakthrough, you're going to get your miracle, you're going to get what you desire from God. So let me tell you something. You have to be willing to go against the current. You can't expect that life is always going to take you to what you desire, that somehow you're just going to get in the right stream and that stream is just going to be flowing your direction and it's just going to sweep you right into your abundant life and into your provision and your blessings. That would be nice, but that rarely happens. You're going to have to become more like the salmon. Instead of floating downstream like any old dead fish, you're going to have to become like the salmon who fights the current to go upstream, fights that current, fights, goes against every obstacle, every opposition to get upstream, to lay those eggs, to spawn in the place where it was born. And it has to go through a lot of adversity, a lot of opposition, but it makes that effort, even putting its life on the line, risking its life. Many of them die on that journey. Nevertheless, it's built into their DNA. We got to get back to that place. And they fight every opposition, every current. They swim upstream. So, dear friend, any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live fish to go upstream against the current. So I'm going to be like that. I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind. I'm not going to sit around just waiting for life to send me a favorable current or to send me a wind that's in my favor. Let me just say this. I heard, I believe it was Charles Spurgeon said this. I have several books, but I was reading one book in particular. And it said that the wind never blows in favor of a ship with no destination. If you don't know where you want to go in life, the wind never blows in your favor. So it doesn't matter how the wind is blowing or how the stream is flowing. If you don't have some idea and some picture of what you desire in life, the wind never blows in your favor. So let me encourage you today to get a picture of where you want to go. This woman had a picture of what she wanted. She wanted her health. She wanted her healing. And she knew that her healing was on the other side of that touch. Oh, Rabashata Labakitai. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. In other words, she had a vision and a picture of herself healthy and whole and well and strong again. And that's what she was seeing and that's what she was envisioning as she was pushing her way through the crowd to get to where her miracle was. So let me just say something to you today. You have to understand, miracles don't just happen. If they did, every time somebody had a need, they would instantly get a miracle. Miracles don't just happen because there's a need. Miracles don't happen because a person even wants a miracle. That's a wonderful thing. It's needful that you want a miracle, but miracles come to those who go after them, like this woman with the issue of blood, who pushed her way through the opposition, who pushed her way through the crowd of curious people, through the crowd of critical people, through the crowd of obnoxious people, through the crowd of people that were only there to criticize and judge Jesus and weren't there to receive anything from him. But she pushed her way through that crowd of people. Well, miracles don't just happen because you need them. Miracles happen because you make a determination that you're going to get a hold of. You're going to reach out and you're going to take it. You're going to push through the opposition, the adversity, and you're going to reach out the hand of faith and take a hold of the promise of God for your life. Miracles come where they're needed, that's true, but they only come when they are desired and when they are reached for. You have to catch your miracle. You have to reach out for that miracle and you have to catch it, take it. Jairus caught a miracle for his daughter when he threw his pride out and he came to where Jesus was. Bartimaeus caught his miracle when he stopped Jesus with his unrestrained cries for mercy. The leper caught a miracle when he fell down at Jesus' feet, seeking his mercy and his healing. The Syrophoenician woman caught a miracle for her demon-possessed daughter when she broke religious protocol, came to Jesus, being an outsider, being a foreigner, and being a stranger to the covenants of Israel and the covenant of God. And she came to Jesus anyway, and she got her miracle for her daughter. And Jesus said, your daughter is made whole. So you got to understand that if you're going to get what you need and what you desire and what you want in life, if you're going to have the kind of extravagant, superabundant, overflowing life of joy and peace and faith and power and glory and see the glory of God in your life and see your dreams fulfilled and see them manifested, you have to become aggressive. You have to become aggressive. You can't just sit on the sidelines and think that the ball is going to come to you. You got to get in the game. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying, dear friends? You got to get in the game. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. That's right. We're getting in the game today. That's for you, my friend. They're applauding you because you're getting off the sidelines and you're getting into the game. Whoa, glory to God. Glory to God. When the giant Goliath, when he defied the children of Israel, David spoke up. David spoke up. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Like, we're not going to sit here and let this Philistine defy the armies of God and defy the God that we serve. That word fight is a very powerful word. That word fight means to make war, to overcome, to prevail, to do battle, to engage in battle, to wage war. And my favorite definition is this, to eat or to use as food. It that parallels what Joshua and Caleb said when they were talking about their enemies. The 10 spies says, we're unable, we can't take them. Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able to take them and they'll be bread for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They'll be bread for us. That's the battle. That's the warfare. That's what we're waging war, and our enemies, instead of looking at them as being some great unconquerable foe, we need to look at them as bread for us. We're going to take them on. We're going to chew them up. We're going to eat them, and we're going to get stronger. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So you have to become proactive. You have to become proactive. You can't live your life reactive to everything that's happening, just waiting for something to happen and then reacting to whatever happens. Reacting to the storm, reacting to the wind, reacting to the cold, reacting to the disappointment, reacting to what people say about you, reacting to circumstances that go sideways and don't work out for you. No, my friend, come on, get up off of the stands, get in the game, make up your mind. You're not going to live on the defensive. You're going to live on the offensive. You're going to go for the goals. You're going for the touchdown. Hallelujah. You're going to go for the goal line, and you're going to get a goal. You're going to make a home run. You're going to make a touchdown, glory to God, because you've decided to get off of the bench and off of the bleachers and get into the game and go for it. And when you do, something's going to happen. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost when I'm telling you this. Something's going to happen when you make up your mind that you'll get up off the bleachers, you'll get in the game, you'll quit living reactively, you'll start living proactively, you'll start living aggressively. The power of the Holy Spirit will come alongside of you and will rise up on the inside of you and will push you. And you will find that you will have divine assistance and you will not be fighting alone. Hallelujah. No, no, no. You will not be fighting alone. God said, I am with you. You will not fight alone. The Bible says that God will give strength to those that turn the battle to the gate. When you turn the battle to the gate, instead of running from the battle, Instead of running from the warfare, you turn the battle to the gate. God empowers you supernaturally with strength, with anointing, with power, with authority, with dominion that you did not have if you would have continued to live reactively and just respond to whatever comes your way. No, we can't do it. I've lived that way a long time. I lived that lifestyle, and I never saw my dreams manifested. I never saw my goals fulfilled. Truthfully, I had very few goals. I had very few dreams. I had because I was living reactively to everything that life threw at me. But when I made up my mind, as John Maxwell says, to live intentional, and I made up my mind that I was going to get in the game and be intentional about my life, I started making some adjustments, making some changes, and deciding that I was going to live offensively instead of defensively, and I was going to take it to the enemy. Take the battle to the gate. Turn the battle to the gate. That's why I'm doing these podcasts. That's why I'm on here right now, because I am encouraging you, my friend, to take the battle to the gate. Turn the battle to the gate. Turn the battle to the enemy. Get in the press. Get a little pushy. Sometimes you have to be pushy if you're going to get your breakthrough, if you're going to get your miracle, if you're going to go to the next level, you're going to have to fight. You can't expect heaven without a little hell. What are you saying? Oh, Pastor, I didn't believe you'd say that. I have to say that, dear friend, because the devil's going to throw all hell against you to try to keep you from making any progress. So you have to understand, if you're going to walk in heaven and experience heaven, Jesus said, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if you're going to experience heaven right here, right now, you're going to have to go through a little hell. There's going to be some fight. There's going to be some warfare. There's going to be some battles. But so what? What soldier goes through a warfare and never gets a scratch? Not very many. Not very many. If you're going to be a real soldier in the army of God, you're probably going to get scratched, or you're going to get wounded, or you may have many scars and many wounds, like Paul the Apostle, who was beaten, who was shipwrecked, who was stoned. He was whipped. He had many, many wounds. But what a soldier of the cross, and what a soldier of faith, and what an example of faithfulness, and an example of power and boldness and aggressive faith we see in the Apostle Paul. So my friend, I'm speaking to you today. And I know for some of you, this is a little different because some people are not naturally aggressive. That was me. I was one of those. But I'm living in a different dimension. I'm not living by the natural anymore. I'm living by the supernatural. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I believe you are too today, dear friend. In fact, I know that you are. I know today that that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling in you and is quickening your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Okay, dear friends, so glad that you joined me today here on Higher Life Broadcast. I'm so excited if you're a first-time listener. My name is Pastor Terry Sisney. I pastor in Grover Beach, California, Pentecostal Church of God. Have a wonderful church here. God is doing tremendous things. I am so thankful and so grateful for the opportunity to be able to come to you by way of podcast. I bless you today in Jesus' name. And I pray that you'll get in the press today and that you'll get a little pushy and you'll push through to your breakthrough and you'll walk in the fullness of the blessings and the promises, provisions that God has made for you, and you will rise up in the power of the Spirit of God and take your place in the heavenlies and live the higher life that you were destined for in Jesus' name. Bye-bye, my friends.